Bruchim Habayim, everyone, and welcome to Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayechi. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, we're able to give the shir. L'zeche nishmas u'le'iloi nishmas, Rebecca Basarina and Leon ben Rachel, be'ezus Hashem, their neshama tahira should have a lichtige, lichtige gan Eden. What a schus to be able to finish Sefer Bereshis, Be'ezus Hashem, as always, it should enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. We should say over the Divrei Torah, share them. I'm so grateful to all those in the Heichal, those on the phone, those who will hear the recording, especially after a fast day to be able to be Zeicha to learn Torah, and we should indeed get Chizuk together to be able to finish Sefer Bereshis again. If you take a look in the Parsha, the Pasuk tells us that when Yaakov Avinu has his grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe, in front of him. Tikel es yodav. The pasuk tells us in Memches Yud Dalet. If you're looking inside, the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu went ahead and put his right hand on Ephraim, his left hand on Menashe, which is Tikel es yodav ki Menashe habachor. In other words, you had Menashe in front of him on the right hand, on his right hand side. Ephraim in front of him on his left-hand side, he switched his hands. When you switch the hands, thereby you're going to be putting your left hand on the one that's on your right, that was Menashe, and your right hand on the one who's on your left, and that was Ephraim. I remember years ago hearing a very powerful pshat on Sikles Yodav. It's based on the words of Reb Chaim V'lozhiner. Sikles Yodav is not only something Yaakov Avinu did by switching his hands, but it's a lesson to every one of us, especially in trying to properly build any relationship. Listen carefully to what the pshat is based on something from Reb Chaim V'lozhiner. A person has what's called a right side and their left side in the sense that their strengths would be considered their right side. Their weaknesses would be considered their left side. Generally, when you face a person, if a person is facing their spouse or sibling or whoever it might be, if they put their hands out onto the other person, their right would be on the person's right side and their left on the person's left side. If they are facing the person, they're going to go ahead and put their left, it's going to be on the person's right, and the right on the person's left. When you're facing that person, that represents, as we said a moment ago, the right side represents their strengths, the left side represents their weaknesses. Sometimes, what does a person do? A person, when it comes to the spouse or the sibling or whoever it might be, their strengths, their right side, the thing that they do so fabulously well, we tend to stretch our hand out and put our left hand, which is now going to be on their right side, the left on their right represents, we downplay it. We really don't appreciate or value their strengths. Conversely, when it comes to their left side and their left side represents their weaknesses, what do we tend to do on that? When we face them straight, we put on that our right, which means we build up their weaknesses. We make it into a giant mountain. When a person does something and the person responds, you always do this, you never do that, all of a sudden there's a fabulous memory. In the last 10 years, you did this 15 times. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us, Sikel es yadav. If you want any relationship to prosper with a spouse or with a child or with a sibling or with whomever it might be, Sikel es yadav means switch your hands. That means by switching your hands, your right hand is going to be on their right side and your left hand is going to be on their left. That means that when it comes to their right side, which, as we said a moment ago, represents their strengths, their milas, their attributes, their qualities, the things they do so exceedingly well, that, don't put your left. Your left would represent, as we said a moment ago, you don't acknowledge it, you don't recognize it, you don't give them validation, you don't appreciate or say thank you. No, on their right side, switch your hand so that your right is now on their right, i.e., build them up. Say thank you. Tell them how fantastic something was or how much you appreciate or recognize what they do is so uniquely special. But when it comes to their left side, as we said a moment ago, represents their weaknesses. Everybody has chesaronis. Everybody has faults. Everybody has things that they do that's going to bother another person. Don't put your right side on their left. That would mean you always notice it. You build it up. You blow it out of proportion. Don't do that. Put your left on that person's left, which means maybe whatever the issue is, the chisaron, the deficiency, the fault bothers you, get to the point. There's a time and a place and a way to say everything. But the idea of putting your left on their left represents that you downplay it. In other words, I guess the best way we could say it is when it comes to the other person's strengths, don't downplay that, build it up. When it comes to the other person's weaknesses and faults, that you could downplay. There's a way to say something. There's a time and a place to say something. Everything has to be done with a chokhmah. Yaakov Avinu was teaching us when he had his grandchildren in front of him. When you're dealing with your family, Rabbi, you're dealing with your spouse. You're trying to create harmony in the home. Listen to what Yaakov Avinu was teaching us. Three words. Sikel es yadav, switch your hand. By switching your hands, you're going to put your right on their right, your left on their left. And as we said a moment ago, that means their right, their qualities, build them up. Tell them through a compliment or through something meaningful or specific how extraordinary they are or what they did. But their left side, their chesroinus, the things that may bother you, their deficiency, their faults, okay. So you have to mention it. You have to get to the point, but don't blow it out of proportion. Don't all of a sudden start remembering you always and you never. On that, you put your left, your weaker side, on their chesroinus. We have to remember in everything and in all of our relationships, Sikel es yadav. I believe it's Ari Gedaliah that it brings down. Leisisa olav chet literally means not to bear a sin because of him. But sisa could also be from the word vayisa. Vayisa means to raise up. The pasuk is teaching us in Sefer Vayikra, hoicheach techiach es am yisecha. Okay, you need to give mussar. You need to rebuke someone and tell someone there's something they did that needs to be corrected. That happens. So yes, hoicheach techiach es am yisecha is a mitzvah, and sometimes it has to be done, even if it's uncomfortable. But here's what Ari Gedaliah tells us. V'loisisa olav chet, from the word vayisa. Don't raise it up. Don't blow it out of proportion. Don't make it worse than it is. Get to the point. Say it, as I said twice already. There's a way. There's a time. There's a place. A when, a how, and everything with a chokhmah of how to do it. Divrei chachamim b'nachas nishman. When you do it softly and it's well-placed, it will be well-received. Okay, you have to give the mussar. But keep in mind, from the word vayisa, don't raise up and blow out of proportion. Because you know what happens then? The argument of the machlekes or the bickering or the lack of shalom just continues. It continues for a really long time. Other family members get involved. And a month later, you have no idea what originally started this fight. You have no idea what originally was the dover that occurred. But I'll tell you what you do know. A month later, there are more and more people who aren't having a relationship with each other. Let's remember Rabbeisai, Sikel es yadav, right on right and left on left. Let's remember, even if something is uncomfortable, V'loisisa olav chet, don't raise it up and magnify it more than necessary. Because as we just said, the machlokes will continue, it will spread till more and more people are involved and you don't even remember what was this fight originally about when it started 6 weeks ago. Gee, I can't seem to remember. Continuing this theme about Yaakov Avinu teaching us some basics in relationships, I want to show you a phenomenal pshat on that pasuk we were just in. Please look back inside, I ask you. Memches Yudalid. We just quoted in Memches Yudalid that he put his right hand on Ephraim, his left hand on Menashe. Tzikilas Yadav, we spoke out clearly what that meant based on the words of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. I want to share with you this next shot. I must tell you by way of introduction, I think it is one of the most fabulous and fundamental pshatim you'll ever hear. What are the last three words of that pasuk? He switched his hands. Ki Menashe ha-bechor, because Menashe was the firstborn. I would think that you read those words countless, if not hundreds of times, ki Menashe ha-bechor, because Menashe was the firstborn. And year after year, we read it again and again and again and again. Does that make sense, what I just said? I just told you that Yaakov Avinu went ahead and switched his hands. And he put the weaker hand, the left, on Menashe, the stronger, more prominent right on Ephraim. Ki Menashe ha-bechor, because Menashe was the firstborn. What do you mean, because Menashe was the firstborn? If it's because Menashe was the firstborn, that's a reason that he should have gotten the right, the more prominent. If you're telling me a switch was made and he got the lesser prominent, he got the left hand, it shouldn't say because he's the Bechor. It should say despite the fact that he's the Bechor. Even though he's the Bechor, he still got the weaker left hand. What do you mean that he got the weaker hand? Ki Menashe ha-Bechor. Because he's the Bechor. You don't get the weaker, less prominent left hand because you're the Bechor. You get it even though you're the Bechor and should have gotten the stronger one. Now, could you please tell me how you read that pasuk and those words year after year and weren't bothered by that question? Ki Menashe ha-Bechor is a svara why he should have gotten the stronger hand, not the weaker hand. Many of the Svarim tell us a pshat that I told you a moment ago is one of the most beautiful and powerful, fundamental that I've ever heard. The Pasuk is teaching us, Yaakov Avinu felt that Menashe, although he was the Bechor, he did not deserve the stronger, more prominent right hand. He deserved the less prominent left hand. But let me ask you a question. Instead of switching, once they came in front of him, and Menashe was on his right side, and Ephraim was on his left side. Instead of switching his hands, why didn't he just say, can the two of you switch positions? Menashe, could you please go to the left side, and Ephraim, could you please go to the right side? Why did he switch his hands before he did that? Why didn't he just tell them switch positions, and then everything would have been fine? Menashe would have been on the left, and Ephraim would have been on the right. Because Yaakov Avinu understood, yes, I can't give him the bracha of the more prominent, the right hand. I have to give him, even though he's the Bechor, the less prominent left hand. But that doesn't mean that I also have to take away his position. It doesn't mean that I also have to take away what he does have now, that he's currently standing on my right-hand side. Could you imagine if he would have done that as well? And he would have said, one second, instead of me switching hands, why don't you switch positions? Menashe, you go to the left, Ephraim, you go to the right. You know what that would have done to Menashe? I can't even remain in the position that what I was in. So with incredible chokhmah and incredible pikhus and wisdom and foresight and insight, Yaakov Avinu said, I will switch hands. The pasuk is to be read in the following way, Sikel es Yadav. The reason that he switched his hands, and he didn't do what you would have thought is more obvious. He didn't make them switch positions. You know why?
Ki Menashe ha-Bechor. Because, precisely because Menashe was the Bechor, he didn't want to take that away from him. Just because I have to take one thing away from you doesn't mean that I have to take something else away from you and make you feel worse. Just because one thing has to happen, that doesn't mean that there has to be another busha that suffered. The way to read the pasuk is the reason that Yaakov Avinu switched his hands instead of what should have been and seemed to have been more obvious, making them switch positions. Why did he switch hands and not make them switch positions? Ki Menashe ha-Bechor. Because Menashe was the Bechor, he deserved to remain on the right-hand side. Don't take away what doesn't need to be taken away. I think that goes very powerfully with the same concept that we're in vis-a-vis a relationship and trying to remove machlokes and replace it with shalom. Sometimes, like in this case, a point needed to be made and something needed to be done where the right was given to Ephraim and the left to Menashe. Yaakov Avinu understood that I'll do. But more than that, what you might have thought is more obvious, to switch their sides and to put Ephraim on the right side and Menashe on the left side, that I'm not going to do. Ki Menashe ha-Bechor. Precisely because Menashe is the Bechor, he deserves to remain on the right side. The fact that Yaakov Avinu had to switch the hands doesn't mean that there had to be another layer and another level of him suffering a busha. No. It's such a powerful lesson for us. Sometimes maybe we have to, in the sense, switch our hands and put the left hand on Menashe, but it doesn't mean that we also have to switch their sides. It doesn't mean we also have to go ahead and take away from them something that could help them maintain their dignity. Because remember, Rabbi Yisai, Ki Menashe ha-Bechor, because he is the Bechor. In keeping with this idea about Ephraim and Menashe being the ones that are getting the bracha from Yaakov Avinu, if you take a look in the parsha, a few psukim later it says in Pasuk Chof at the end, Yisimcha Elokim k'Ephraim v'k'Menashe. And this is a very powerful bracha that we give our children. Some have the custom to give this part of a bracha to their children every Friday night. Some give it on Erev Yom HaKadosh, right before Yom HaKippurim. Why is it that we're basing the bracha on Ephraim and Menashe? They weren't Shvatim. Reuven and Shimon, that was a generation earlier. What's the reason that the brachos we give our children for perpetuity are to emulate and be like Ephraim and Menashe? And I know that there are many answers to that question. One of the very common explanations is because Ephraim and Menashe grew up in Mitzrayim, a very immoral and debased society, and yet they remained so pure. And yet they remained such heilige children brought up by Yosef HaTzadik. Isn't that the bracha that we want to give our children? That although we look around at a society, and especially what has been taking place in society as of late, Rachmana Litzlan, is there a more poignant bracha that we could give our children than to remain pure? Like Ephraim and Menashe, who grew up in an immoral and debased society like Mitzrayim, and yet they remained pure. That's the bracha we wish our children. We know when it speaks about our children surrounding us, the pasuk says, "Bonecha kisile zesim saviv shulchanecha." They're like the olive shoots surrounding your table. Why the olives? Because in the time of the Mabel of Noach, all of the animals were corrupt, min b'she'enoi minoi, one min, one species with one that wasn't from its species, and plants and trees as well, they grafted one with the other, not from their own min. The one exception, the only exception to the one that remained totally pure and didn't graft, but remained with its own men, was the Aleh Zayas, the olive shoot. And that's why when we speak about our children around our table, we say, Bonecha kishile zaysim sover shulchanecha. They should indeed be like those olives that remain pure. What better bracha could we give our children in today's society when different laws are being passed, different concepts are starting to, Rachmana Litzlan in some places, be accepted, things that are the antithesis of a Torah life. Yisim chelokim kefrayim v'chemenasha, that in whatever society you grow up in, to remain pure like the Zaysim, to remain pure like Ephraim and Menashe. It should be noted that the first letter of Ephraim and Menashe is Aleph and Mem, which stands for Aim, the Jewish mother. So much of the power and the koyach of that purity stems from the Aim. It does stand for Ephraim and Menashe, but certainly represents the Aim. The mother who covers her eyes Friday night by Lichbench and Vezakeni Legadel Bonim. It's interesting because we've commented that in every time we've been redeemed from a Golos and we've experienced the Geula, it's always through an Aleph and a Mem. We came out of Golos Mitzrayim and we went to Geula through Aleph and Mem, Aaron and Moshe. In Purim we were Zeicha to go from the Golos to the Geula, from Aleph and Mem, Esther and Mordechai. And the Geula Shalema will happen with an Aleph and Mem, Eliyahu and Mashiach. Maybe we could explain it with this Aleph and Mem of Ephraim and Menashe, the purity. It is the purity and the purity of the Aim that keeps it on such a high level, like we know it says by Mitzrayim. When we left, that in the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, it was in their merit that we were redeemed. They were not willing to relinquish or water down an iota. Shemam, Lashainim, Levusham, their names, their identity, the proper way of speech. We give our children that bracha of Aleph and Mem, Ephraim and Menashe. That strength comes from the Aim, and that will bring about the final Aleph and Mem of Eliyahu and Mashiach. In fact, that's the verse we've said many a time from the Heilig Shpol Yezeda. The Shpol Yezeda was referencing the pasuk of Shiluach Hakan, which is the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird and taking the child. Shaleach tishalach esa'im eshabonim tikach loch. Heilig Shpol Yezeda said, based on these words that we said a moment ago, that every time we've been redeemed, it's been through Aleph and Mem, as we said, Aaron and Moshe, Esther and Mordechai, now we said Ephraim and Menashe, and we await the final Aleph and Mem, that of Eliyahu and Mashiach. Says the Shpol Yezeda, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shaleach Tishalach Es Ha'Aim. How do you spell Aim? Aleph Mem. Please send us the final Aim, Eliyahu and Mashiach. Ves Habonim Tikach Loch. And then take us, your children, back to Eretz Yisrael with the Gula Shalema. That, Mayrai V'Rabbeisai, is this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayechi. That's this week's Parsha, as we conclude Sefer Bereishis, the Parsha of Chazak, Chazak, Minis Chazek, the Parsha of Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim V'Chemenasha, the purity in a society that in some ways we don't even recognize. The purity and the clinging tenaciously to the holiness of our Torah values in a society that is anything but. The purity that stems from the Aleph Mem, the Aim. And that's why we give the bracha, be like Ephraim and Menashe. That Aim will bring about the final Aim of Eliyahu Mashiach, and then we'll merit Vesabonim Tikach Loch. There's another explanation of why we give the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe. And I think it's also keeping with our theme of Sikeles Yadav and Velei Sisa Olav Chet and not to do more than you need to Ki Menashe HaBachor. Along the same lines, we could explain when the mistake or seeming mistake of switching the hands was noticed, who's the one that called out? Of course, it wasn't a mistake, and Yaakov Avinu did it intentionally and deliberately. But who is the one that the Pasuk says called out that it seemed like something was done that wasn't intended? Who called that out? Yosef. Yosef called out to his father, and Yosef said, your hands were switched. Ephraim's on this side, and Menashe's on that side. But did you ever wonder why was it Yosef that called it out? What about Menashe? Why didn't Menashe say, Zaidi, I'm the Bechor, I'm not supposed to get the left hand, I'm supposed to get the right hand, however he would have worded it, in the most respectful way, obviously. But we don't find that Menashe said anything. We find that Yosef said something, but why didn't Menashe say something? It must be the Sforim tell us that Menashe didn't say anything because he had the ability to fargin, in the sense that he had the ability to be happy. Yes, he thought he was getting the right hand, then he got the less prominent left hand. So who got it? Ephraim got it. He didn't say anything because Vaisdois, he was happy for his brother. He was pleased that his brother got something that he thought was due him. And that's a quality we want our children to have. Be happy for each other. You thought something was coming your way, and instead the sibling got it. We, by way of example and action, could show our children be happy with that concept. And that's why we give our children the bracha to be like Ephraim and Menashe, because the comment to correct it was not made by Menashe, it was made by Yosef. It must be that Menashe didn't make the comment because he had the midah and ability to be happy for Ephraim, be happy for someone else. Don't be jealous, don't be envious, but he got and I didn't. To be genuinely happy. There are people, by the way, and it's a pleasure to be around them, who are genuinely happy for other people. But I mean genuinely happy for other people. I know such people. They're sincerely, at their core, in the depths of their heart and neshama, happy for other people's successes. In Pirkei Avos it tells us, Ezeo Asher HaSameach B'Chelkai. Who's the person that's wealthy? Who's that person? HaSameach B'Chelkai literally means the one who's happy with his lot, with what he has. Years ago I heard one of my favorite pshatim. You want to know who's the rich and happy person? HaSameach B'Chelkai. The one who's happy with his portion, with what the other person has. I'm happy for you. I'm genuinely happy for you. I don't have a stingy eye. I don't begrudgingly say I'm happy for you. I have an eye in taiva. I'm really happy for you. It couldn't have happened to a better person. Ezeu Osher, who's rich, who's content, who's a happy person? Hasomech b'chelkoi, the one who's happy with the chelek that the other person got. That vice dice was the midah, the trait of Menashe, because he didn't say anything to his grandfather. Yosef is the one who said something. Menashe didn't say anything. Why not? Because he was happy. That's the bracha you want to wish your children. That they should have that midah of Sameach B'Chelkoi, to genuinely get along and to be happy for each other. How many things we should be zeichet to internalize, but I'd like to just point out one final note. According to this pshat, you may ask me a question. In this final pshat that explains why you speak about Menashe, he apparently was happy for Ephraim. Not begrudgingly, but genuinely happy. But the blessing we give our children is Yisimcha Elkim Kefrayim Echemenash, like Ephraim as well. What did Ephraim do according to this pshat that we just said, the last one? That the greatness of Menashe was that he was happy for Ephraim. What's the reason that we include Ephraim and say you should be like Ephraim as well? I once heard something so beautiful. Because in this equation, it's true Menashe had the quality that he was happy for Ephraim. You know what the praise of Ephraim is? Sometimes when someone gets something that the other person doesn't have, sometimes they might remind the other person of what they have and the other doesn't. Sometimes they may do it knowingly and consciously, and sometimes they might do it subconsciously and unknowingly. Sometimes they may do it often, and sometimes they may wait for that moment that they're really upset at the other and then say, well, look, that's why you didn't get whatever, but I did. Nowhere do you see that Ephraim did that. Ephraim, you know, the expression, sometimes a person has something and they flaunt it. They let everybody know that they have whatever the riches or whatever the materialistic item is. Don't do that. Don't flaunt whatever it is that it might be the materialistic item. It's not good, not the least of which for ayin hara purposes, for jealousy purposes. It's not a nice meet if a person's privileged to have something. You don't tease or flaunt or remind another what you do and the other doesn't. Be more sensitive. It's this sensitivity that clearly Ephraim displayed. It's this beautiful midah of sensitivity and not reminding Menashe of what he, Ephraim, had and Menashe didn't, that completely rounds out the brach of Yisimcha Elokim Kephraim Echem Menashe. Menashe had the quality, he was happy for Ephraim. And Ephraim had the midah according to this pshat, that he didn't do anything with insensitivity, he didn't do anything to remind, knowingly or not knowingly, Menashe of what he had and Menashe didn't. It comes from a beautiful, acute sensitivity in both directions. Nu Rabbeisai, isn't that what we wish from ourselves and from others? Isn't that what we wish from an entire unity and a family? I want to be messiah with one pshat to try to tie the entire shir together. In the beginning of the parsha, right by Sheni, the pasuk says, "Roi fanecha lo filalti." It's actually a pasuk we mentioned this past week in the TMT. And then Yaakov Avinu says, "V'hine hera oisi elikim gam ezarecha." Why does it say "V'hine hera oisi"? He's looking at his grandchildren. Shouldn't it say "V'hine hera li"? They are being shown to me. Why does it say the word "hera oisi"? It should say "li." I once heard from the Jibo Dayan Rav Katz of Montreal, Zeller Gesund und Stark Sein, it could be understood differently. Not only that Yaakov Avinu was saying, my offspring is being shown to me. If that's what it meant, then it could have indeed said, Vihine hera li elikim gamezarecha. Vihine hera oisi means that when I look at them, Vihine hera oisi, I see myself. When I look at my grandchildren, I see myself. And I never thought I would see that continuity. How beautiful is it when the children, Einiklach, can be expressed that someone says, oh, you remind me so much of your father, your mother, your bubby, your zaydi, by the beautiful qualities. The Chassam Sofer says, we find in the parasha, HaMalach HaGol, Oisi Mikora, Yivarcha, Mikorem Shmi, V'Sheila, V'Sheila, Abram V'Yitzchok. Asks the Chassam Sofer, do you find anywhere after the original Abram and Yitzchok anyone in Tanakh with the name Avram and Yitzchak? You don't find somebody else with that name. So what does it mean with the bracha? Yevorech es ha-na'orim, they should have the bracha. V'karvem shmi v'shem Avram Yitzchak, they should carry on the name Avram Yitzchak. Nobody else had that name again in Tanakh. The Chassam Sofer Zechusa Yagalenu tells us maybe literally the names of the children, great-grandchildren, future generations, are other names. But what it means, V'karivem Shvi V'shem Avaisa Avram Yitzchak, it means that when those children or grandchildren or descendants walk down the street, let somebody be able to point to them and say, you see him? He's mamish and enakul of Avram Avinu. You see her? She's mamish, a descendant of Sarah Imenu. Maybe literally they don't have the same names of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Emois. Says the Chassam Sofer, V'karivem Shvi V'shem Avaisa Avram Yitzchak, means that when they're walking down the street, their persona, their prezenlichkeit, their demeanor, the way they act and react and interact, should be in a way that somebody points to them and says with such pride, ah, that's mamish like their grandparents. That's mamish like the Avos and Imais. How beautiful would it be if we could instill in our families the midas of Ephraim and Menashe, the midah of purity, the midah of being happy for each other, the midah of an acute sensitivity. In that zechus, we should talk about zeiche, like the Shpol Yezeda said, shaleach tishalach es ha'aim. In the merit of those midos of the Ein, the Aleph and Mem, Ephraim and Menashe, we should be zeiche to the final Aleph and Mem, Eliyahu and Mashiach, ves habonim tikach loch, and them to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael with the Gula Shleima b'mher b'yameinu. As we finish Bereishis, we say together, Baruch Hashem, Chazak, Chazak, v'nischazek.